Following the service, there will be teas and coffees, followed by a lunch in the church hall. Please join us. The service will follow the order of service. If you don't have one, when I go to sit down, could you please raise your hand and I can deliver one to you? I will now light the Christ candle to remind us of Christ's light in the world, and the peace candle as we offer prayers for peace in the world.
Good morning, all of you. Welcome. Gradually, the butterflies will disappear from my tummy, but at this moment, it's full of butterflies. Thank you so much for joining us at this service this morning, which inevitably, I'm trying to pretend it's a normal Sunday service, but it's not. The amount of people in church is the indication of that, without being too cynical. But it's a joy. It's a joy to share this service with you and those who will be listening to it in the recording or following it in the live streaming. My sister did say 6 o'clock in the morning was too early for her to follow it, so she'll be looking at it from Argentina later in the day. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. I hope you believe these words and carry them with you beyond this day. If you are following the order of service, this hymn, verses 1 and 2, 3 and 4, left column, right column, It won't be the same for all of them. Remember, this is Emmanuel. Roberts had something to do with it. So we're not doing it simple, so that if you fall asleep, it will be noticed. So this is top, followed, then you go to the other side. And this is, all hymns are very important to me, and this is one that with joy we are able to sing again. If you're following the hymn book, don't sing verse 2, because we aren't singing verse 2. Let us join in singing, let us build a house where love can dwell. Seated. I invite you to join with me in a time of prayer, which we will end with the Lord's Prayer, and say it in the version that comes to your heart. Say it in the words that are part of your heart. So it'll be more of a murmur than an outgoing proclamation. God knows what we're saying. So say it as you love to say it. And with that, we will close the prayer. Let us pray. Two years ago, this service was 2 years away. But here it is today. on a beautiful day in a full church. Thank you. Thank you for what has happened. Thank you for what we have been able to do. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for learning together. I want to especially thank you that one of the things that I felt drawn to when you showed me the way to come here was the Old Town Partnership of Churches. And in Highworth, the churches together. They are small little miracles that mean so much and can do so much. Thank you for those who love us and that we love. Thank you, even though they are far away. Thank you for all that's made us the people we are today. And above all, for learning of your grace and your forgiveness, not once, but as many times as you think it is needed. Thank you for the road ahead, reminding us that the journey is in your hands. Thank you for all the new things that will be appearing. Some of them might take a time to get to us, and others will suddenly be among us without us realizing. And we are grateful for that. For all those that have come before us, for all those that taught us about who we can be, and those that are walking with us now, and those that will come after us, in the big company of your love with us. And forgive us, because we do mess things up. We do make mistakes. Sometimes we do the inexplicable things without any rhyme or reason. Help us to learn through that and be better. Help us to understand that you work beyond the four walls of any church building in this world. And as the hymn we've just sung, that all our homes, our churches, our lives may be welcoming. Forgive us when that has not happened. Forgive us when we think of ourselves as the center of the universe. And guide us on the journey to be made new, to rejoice, to be able to feel the solidarity and the empathy with which we build life together. To you be the glory this day and every day. And hear us as we say together the words Jesus taught the disciples and the disciples taught the generations that followed. That when we call you Father, we are also reminding ourselves that we are your children, but also sisters and brothers together. And we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The next hymn. It's here because I've sung it, I think, more times in Spanish than I have sung it in English. Teresa de Avila, one of the few women that was originally sung in the church. Now, this needs instructions on how to sing it. On the front, on the page you have there, what you have is verse 1 and 3. If you're going to sing 1 and 2, you have to turn over the page. So it's 1, turn over the page, 2, turn over the page to 3, turn over the page to 4, and 4 and 5 come together. Okay? 1, page, 2, turn over page, 3, turn over page 4 and 5. You will soon realize if you're singing the wrong verse and you know where to turn to. And this is clearly a hymn that's very important, and it's the reason I chose this stole for today, because what I have here on this stole is what is called La Puerta del Sol in the Tiahuanaco, in the Bolivian-Peruvian border. And this is the equivalent to Stonehenge in the Latin American Aboriginal culture, for exactly the same reason. It's an astronomical one. The only thing that Stonehenge has it 6 months wrong. I grew up more time in South America, so they have spring and winter and at a different time than we have. They are going into autumn now, and we are going into spring and summer. So that's why I chose this hymn and this stole. Nothing distress you, nothing affright you.
Reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. And if you'd like to follow it in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 100 of the New Testament section. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord.
The choir will now sing the anthem, "Jubilate, O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands." Thank you, choir. Thank you very much. The extended choir, thank you. I really appreciate you. Okay. About 3 weeks ago, I looked up in the lectionary what the readings for this Sunday would be. Because I've always felt the freedom to be able to say, if they speak to me, I can speak. But if I don't find something, the Bible has lots of other passages. To my joy and delight, I found that the gospel reading that Tom led us in a few moments ago was not something I randomly looked for. It is the reading for this Sunday. and I could not believe it. For 40 years, at least, this has been my top preferred Bible reading. The final words of the passage have been an inspiration to my life and tried to lead me to understand how to lead a ministry, but above all, how to be a human being. I came that they may have life and have it in all fullness. Not existence, not survival, not even merely living. Life in fullness, life in abundance, depends the reading or the version you've chosen. This is what God wants for God's children everywhere. It begins with the image of Jesus as a shepherd. And then, preparing the weekly news for this week, if you have it among you, there is the icon. Kelly Latimer is a wonderful USA icon. You don't draw an icon. It's an answer to prayer. And this week on Facebook, the Good Shepherd came. And it's amazing. If you want to look her up, you'll find so many of her icons there. And they're absolutely incredible. It begins with the image of Jesus as the shepherd, where Jesus introduces being the gate. And against so much what has happened in history, it states quite clearly that this is a gate by which you can go in and go out. It's not a gate by which once you're in, it's closed and there's no getting out of it. And I think this is a wonderful image. I am the gate and the sheep will come in and go out. The freedom of movement. We are not captives of the shepherd. Quite the contrary. And that's the first point I want to make. Once we discover that in the shepherd we have that freedom of coming and going, and if you look at history, you will find so many examples of those that once you're in, you cannot get out. That is not God's will at all. One of the most frightening images of the passage is this one as well. It's that of being led out. It's something we often don't like or don't feel comfortable. I feel secure. I know what's happening. Even if I'm a visitor in a church, okay, I can get a gist of what's going on if it's not my church. Going out, doing something different. You must be mad. I want to feel safe. I want to feel secure. I don't want to feel threatened. There's enough going on in the world. This is my refuge. I'm sorry, it's not. This becomes the place where we nurture and are fed to go out. The going out is where the mission takes place, where we encounter the unknown. And in that reality, we come across the warning. Not all shepherds are doing God's will. Discernment is one of the greatest gifts of the Holy Spirit. Be careful. There are thieves and bandits. And I promised myself today I would not get too political. But I'm just going to say, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Thieves and bandits. Our task is to recognize the voice of the true shepherd and follow a particular leadership, not any leadership. And over the past few weeks, I have been reflecting a lot on what fullness of life has meant and how it has expressed itself. And we often, to our surprise, find out that it comes through the simplest moments, nothing elaborate. Not all of us have had falling off a horse on the road to Damascus. I would guess that most of us have never been to Damascus here. So if that's the way you get in, we're done for. But it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes it's a conversation, meeting. Sometimes it is one of these life-changing moments. I'm not going to deny that. simple moments, and I pray for all of you, those simple moments, discovering that they have the capacity of doing something unexpected, of discovering who we are, those people that have inspired us, those people that have led us on a faith journey. In my case, I would not be dead honest if I did not recognize the importance that my mother and father have in all this. And if you've got the order of service, if you open it like this, just see what 42 years of ministry does to you. The one with my mother and my father was about an hour after the ordination service had taken place in April 13th of 1984. Then you have the photograph at Highworth and the photograph of Emmanuel. The beard has gone white, the hair has gone white, there's much less of it. I look more like my father in that sense than anything. The family we formed, together with my sister Anne, who will be looking at this service sometime, growing up in church, but also being able to follow paths that we could not imagine at one time or another, where we learned to trust, to grow, and know that we were there. They were difficult times. And to those of us who are members of a family, not everything is as rose-tinted as people want to make us believe. There are difficult moments, ones we can't understand. But they were shared moments. In as much as Anne and I can remember, it showed us what family could be. Not perfect, but loving. And I know owe so much to that nucleus. And publicly, and there are a few witnesses here that I am willing for you to take up these words, Anne, I love you dearly. I can't imagine what life would be without Rana and Myra. They are here today. The journey has not always been a smooth one. We have discovered that each other has different views of life and different paths in life. But at every or most of important moments, we have been together. We share, we grow. And I wouldn't be who I am today if you two hadn't been part of that journey. And I wrote this before I knew that you were both going to be here, so. And of course, there is Sven, Bobby, and Will, who are part of that clan. And much to my surprise, because he never intended to let me know that he was coming, there's Tom sitting there, the first friend I ever made up in Edinburgh University in 1983. And 40-odd years later, we are still friends. Though, he's the only one that came back to live in England. They all stayed up in Scotland afterwards. I discovered that the fullness of life has included the ecumenical journey, which I cannot imagine my life without it. When I entered theological college, I was a horrible person, honestly. You wouldn't have wanted to know me then. And the ecumenical theological college allowed me to see things and to learn. It was run by 9 different churches. And it was amazing. I was the only Scots Presbyterian or Presbyterian of any lot. I was the only one there. Lots of Methodists, not many Anglicans, lots of Lutherans, Waldensians, the German Evangelical Church. And you know what was the biggest challenge to the churches? When students from different churches married and they both wanted to be ministers and the church had to face a reality. What are we going to do with these people? And it got the church talking. The joy of learning together. What sometimes seems like a coincidence is not. The theological studies the whole time for me and for my generation was under dictatorship. How do you learn and talk about life in fullness under a dictatorship? And that meant 30,000 disappeared. The human rights movement. And when I walked into Emmanuel, when I came over to preach with a view, and I saw that they had Amnesty International candle, I said, if they don't want me, I'm coming anyway. But they did want me. They did want me. The way we talk about human rights and the fullness of life for all people. How do you find yourselves living and feeling and talking about fullness of life, like Jesus mentions, with the people you have around, sharing your own journey? And if your journey has been a particularly hard one, letting people know that a hard part of a journey can lead to wonderful new visions of life. Not always, but it does. And I know there are people here that know what I'm talking about. And I can't forget, and it would be unfair to not mention, back in 2009, I know David knows who I'm going to mention now. Well, he'll know who she is. Elizabeth Nash, URC minister in the Midlands, who said to me one day in one of the ecumenical meetings of the World Alliance of Reformed Churches, if you ever wanted, the URC would enjoy a minister like you. And she planted a seed. And then when things were necessary, I'm now on my farewell service after 16 years. I can't forget her. And in that journey, Emmanuel and Highworth, did you realize the risk you were taking when you invited me to come over? Yes. That question was placed exactly there, expecting, he is really so predictable sometimes, aren't you, Jeff? But I remember talking to the URC minister's office at that time when they had recently opened what in the URC is called the Certificate of Eligibility, which is allowing ministers who come from other churches to be part of the URC. And they said, we expected somebody from Germany, France, never 12,000 kilometers away. You've got to be careful when you open a door. Life in fullness has many shapes and many tones of voice and accents. Working together, worshipping in St. Mary's, Christ Church, Bath Road, the Methodist Church in Highworth, the Lent lunches in Highworth, working together with Christians Against Poverty, in Gloucester House, all that where we would meet so many people and share with them. And as you have just done many times this morning, laughing together and then having serious conversations. That has made a big difference. And this is who you are. And please remember that. It's not about me. It's about who you are on your journey of life. Life in fullness is a reminder that we should never conform to existence. Existence is not life in fullness. And God doesn't want us to exist. He wants us to live and live in fullness. Where life is not in fullness, we are expected to pronounce a two-letter word, no, and repeat it as many times as necessary. No, we can never accept anything below life in fullness. At times when there is so much destruction and death and pain and devastation, the world needs to know that we think differently, even our rejections. What God wants is more life and less pain. Life has to be more than breathing only. At a time when many even fear to dream of something better, that is our dream. And we carry it with us and live it with people we know well and those people that suddenly appear on our journey. Life in fullness is not just existing. It is loving, it's caring. It's making mistakes, it's forgiving, it's starting again. It's been moved as many times as it has happened when the choir sings and it touches people. And when you met on Friday, you did not know the impact you were going to have. That people who lead intercession prayers or prayers of any sort or worship suddenly come out with something and you just are silent because it is overwhelming. The love of somebody surrounding you. Jesus is the gate. We can go in, but we can also go out. There is a voice to listen to and to follow and meet new people and learn from them and with them. Life in fullness is a gift, and it has been entrusted to us. Remember that. Please And that way strangers become companions on the journey. All are welcome, we sang. Make that real, even at a cost for us. Friends are found and we share with them. And in the midst of shadows, light shines. Light shines and new things are discovered. I don't take this as an end of anything, but as a change. A change. We will meet, we will share, but you have to keep going. We all have to keep going. And God's love is there. I have come so that all may have life in abundance, said Jesus. And when they thought the cross was the end of it, suddenly the empty tomb had a lot to say. As the hymn we sang just before the reading, He is your treasure, who God possesses, needs naught beside. Amen. Life abundant God, God of grace, you call us by name to live without fear. In peace may we resist all who kill and despoil your people, that their hearts may be turned to the only source of life, through Jesus Christ, the gateway. Amen. I hope the next hymn, God of Freedom, God of Justice, it's 1, 2 is next to it, 3 is at the bottom. So it's left, right, below. Be seated. The offering always comes at this place in the services. We haven't put it in here because lots of people were coming to church today. That's not how it happens. I sent a joke to Gerald the other day, and he told me that he didn't think it would prosper among the synod. Was, we receive your offering. If you don't like the service, ask for it back at the end of the service. Don't get any mad ideas. It was something like that, wasn't it, Gerald? We share the offering. This is what we can set apart to give to God's mission through us in this place. going to take a time to count, isn't it? We thank you for the opportunity of sharing what we have received, what is in this plate, and what we give in different ways, our time, our talents, and our possessions. The guidance of the Spirit may lead us to let the world know that your ways are different and better. And bless those who have to decide how it is used, that it may be to your glory. Amen. And a tradition here at Emmanuel is after the offering, we share the words of the grace together. And you can look around if you want, and if somebody looks at you, just go ahead and smile. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Let us share a time of prayers for others and for the wider world, our prayer of intercession. Let us pray. You want life in fullness for all. But the fact is, it's not a reality for so many people. And part of our no to injustice is lighting both the amnesty candle and the peace candle and the Christ candle. They're all symbols of something deeper than who we are and what we can do. In a world that is torn to pieces by hatred, discrimination, where people live in fear because of their nationality, the color of their skin, the language they speak, the way they call you, and their patterns of worship, because of their gender, because of all the limitations that come with all that, by people who feel that they're entitled. Lord, this is not life in fullness. We know you want something different. We pray for those, O Lord, who work and give time and talents to make this a better world. For doctors and nurses and carers, for teachers, for fire brigade, for ambulance drivers, for the international organizations that are working against so many difficulties, where it is easier to spend money on death than it is on life. We pray, O Lord, for those in government, in the governments of the world, where so much is based on pride and so little on a call to serve. Yet in the midst of all that, there are those who serve, who love, who work hard for a better world. We pray for the churches that they may speak truth, your truth. Open doors, welcoming, not serving private agendas, but your call to love. We pray for family and friends and loved ones, those nearby and those far away, those we remember with love, and ask you to help those who are struggling in health issues of body, mind, soul, and spirit. We pray, O Lord, for those people close to our hearts, that in this silence you will hear who they are. Loving God, there are so many things we don't understand. Why? When? But you welcome us. You call us by name, and you say that there is always a place for us. Help us on this journey. What happens today and what happens tomorrow and the days to come. For the decision on finding ministers to serve churches. For those who will have to take up during the vacancies tasks that they haven't done before. But you know that they will be able to do it. And for the love received and shared that has transformed lives. And in this church at Emmanuel Building, we pray for those who share some of the spaces we have. For the Nepalese church, for the Romanian church, for the art group that works with children, for the dance group, and we don't forget the badminton. Oh Lord, that it may be a place like all our churches where so much happens, where people can find a reason, a hope, and a way ahead. We pray all this in your name. To you be the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And now this is the part of the service when you will hear other voices and not mine.
I suspect that there are few here this morning who will envy me the challenge of trying to sum up Robert's 16 years at Emmanuel and Highworth in a very few minutes. Thankfully, we have three others here to add more colour, and of course, we will all share our memories in the hall afterwards. When Robert first visited Swindon at the end of 2009, Emmanuel had been in existence for 70 years and had supported many worthwhile causes both in this country and right across the world, but it only ever had ministers coming from England, and I believe the same is true of Highworth. So the prospect of having a minister who not only came from 7,000 miles away, but who also had a rich background of working for the worldwide church, was totally new for us here. But we could see that this would really help us open our eyes more widely to needs and concerns from across the world, and to what different Reformed churches could teach us about social need, social action, and different styles of worship. 16 years later, we can look back with thanks on how much Robert's ministry has made us ever more conscious that we are part of a worldwide church sharing the same faith. We at Emmanuel were asked to share 25% of Robert with Highworth, and Highworth were asked to share 75% of Robert with Emmanuel. That was another new situation for us, which has brought its challenges, but ultimately some very rich rewards. Pretty early in Robert's ministry, he was faced with a threat to the very future of Highworth United Reformed Church, when all three long-serving elders acknowledged that the time had come to retire after many years of wonderful service. URC rules state that you can't have a church without elders. Robert and the then elders of Emmanuel resolved pretty quickly that the solution to this problem had to lie in some sort of merger, leading to one church worshipping in two towns and two buildings with one set of elders. It took an awful lot of legal work, you can't imagine, but the merger came to pass, And under Robert's leadership, our two fellowships have grown together and learnt from each other, to the extent that last Sunday, our combined church meeting voted unanimously to elect one of our Highworth fellowship to what will now be genuinely a joint eldership looking after the two churches. And what of the three retired Highworth elders, I hear you ask? Well, Brian and Mary and Nanette remain very active members, and long may they remain so. While Robert was always very much an ecumenist, he had never before been asked to serve in a partnership with Methodist and Anglican churches. He has richly enjoyed that opportunity and made the most of it, and George will tell us a little bit more about that in a minute. I will just mention that the monthly lunches of the partnership clergy have proved a particular joy for him, not just for the food. And he still speaks almost with surprise of the fact that he is allowed, in fact, he is expected to preside at communion in a Church of England. As we have shared in Robert's Sunday services, we have especially enjoyed the way he has brought art into worship and also humour. Our churches have long expected to have our services peppered with a bit of fun, but Robert's humorous contributions have been something else again. I should acknowledge briefly that Robert's period here has not been trouble-free. He has suffered family problems and health problems over the years, but he has continued to serve our fellowship and our God throughout it all, and we are profoundly grateful for that. I could say so much more, but I'm sure that's true of all of us here, so I will bring my comments to a close now and leave us all to share our memories and our thanks to Robert for all that he has brought us. Robert, we are deeply indebted to you for all that you've brought us in the past 16 years, and we all wish you the best of health and happiness in your very well-deserved retirement.
As Don has already said, and Robert himself in both the prayers and the sermon, he has said just how much ecumenism, I should have practiced that, ecumenism means to him, and how much being able to put that into practice as part of the partnership has meant to him. And we, as a partnership, are extremely grateful for that. He has really supported everyone through the partnership in the churches, certainly from Bath Road. I can say he's joined one of our house groups, so you know he has really got involved, and whenever he comes to any of the other churches, he really feels like he is one of us, not just a visitor. He's one of our own, really. So I would really like to thank him for everything he has done and wish him Godspeed and a long and fruitful and happy retirement.
And we will now sing the last hymn, verse 1, bottom of verse 1 is verse 2, then you go to the other column, it's verse 3, and we're omitting verse 4, so what you have there is verse 5, but to all intents and purposes, it's verse 4. Come on, Tim, come on.
Thank you.
can't imagine me having a service, and particularly my final service as minister of this church, without a Fred Cann hymn. And when I discovered Fred Cann had been a minister here in Swindon, I just could not imagine it. So that's why Fred Cann was the last hymn we'll sing today.
If we could follow the order of service and where you see the bold type, if you could respond. We share in this service with mixed feelings about the past and the future. Feelings of thankfulness and failure. Feelings of anticipation and trepidation. We bring all these thoughts and feelings to God.
Lord, for all the blessings I have received in this pastorate, for all the love and hospitality, for all the grace and forbearance, for all that I have learnt, for all the hard lessons that have helped me grow, I thank you.
For all that you have been able to give, for all that you have achieved, for all the friendships made and people helped and healed in your ministry. We thank you, Lord.
Lord God, for all the blessings we have received during this ministry, for the love, patience, and care shown to us, for the fruits of study and prayer and teaching and preaching, for new thoughts and the widening of our horizons.
For all I have left undone, for hurts I have caused unwittingly, for failures of ideas, projects and plans, for missed opportunities, for all I have failed to achieve through lack of inspiration or vision, for times of impatience and lack of grace, loving God, forgive me.
For these people, Lord, I pray that they may be united in faith and vision as they face a new chapter and important decisions in the life of the church. Grant them an outpouring of your Spirit as the journey continues.
Past put behind us, for the future take us, Lord of the years, to live for Christ alone. Amen.
Thank you so much, dear. Thank you, Gerald. Could I invite you to stand for the blessing? I'm surprised myself that it hasn't extended more. The service. Forgive me, Jeff. And one of the good things, partnership shows in this. Jeff started playing the organ. Tim, who is the organist and choir master at Christ Church, is finishing the service with his playing. And you'll notice that as after the blessing, he will be playing. Loving God, bless us, guide us, lead us. May your blessing be with us, with our loved ones, with those we find so hard to love, and with your people everywhere. May the journey ahead be your journey with us, and fill us with hope and a concept of mission and caring. The peace of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.